about C.C. Gaurnikai, even those who knew about Krishna and Balaram. But I've seen it last time I was in Vrindavan. I saw one local person, or a person from Delhi, taking some guests around Krishna Balaram Mandir and saying, and they said, "Who is this?" Said, "You don't know? This is Gaurnikai." It was very, very, very sweet. Because gradually, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and those who follow Prabhupada, throughout the world, everyone is learning about Gaurnikai and their mercy. And everyone is, or so many people are chanting Krishna's holy names all over the world. All over the world, people are chanting Krishna's name. All over the world. And when I think of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, there is something very wonderful that I usually think about. And that is something that Prabhupada said. Two things, actually. Because Krishna is standing like this, yes? And his, oops, that way. And this way is it? Is it that way? Okay. Because you're looking at it, you can tell. So, Prabhupada was asked, who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram? So who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram? Okay, all those who think Krishna is stronger, raise your hand. All those who think Balaram is stronger, raise your hand. Oh, because he's the older brother, so he must be stronger. But whose elbow is resting on the other? Balaram is resting on Krishna. So therefore, who's stronger? Krishna is stronger. That's what Prabhupada says. And another thing that Prabhupada says, which is very, very, very sweet and also very practical. He said that if you have a problem that you can't solve, raise your hand if you have a problem that you can't solve. Is there anyone? Anyone over 4 years old? Yes, even a four-year-old. He said, if you have a problem you can't solve, you take it to Balaram. That's what Prabhupada said. And I had this experience, a practical experience, that where is Arisa? That many years ago in the 80s, a group of devotees from Iran came to Vrindavan. And there was only one or two, there was maybe 10 or 12 devotees, and somehow I saw them. And they came into my room. And I knew one of the leaders, his name was Mahaprabhu. Did you ever meet him? He was preaching there many years ago. He was an atomic physicist, and he was preaching in Iran. He brought them, and I was speaking to them. And then, after the end of my talking, one of the ladies, she was maybe 45, 48 years old, she couldn't speak any English. And she wanted to speak after. And she said to me, "I was born in a Muslim country. My family is Muslim. And when I see the deities, I see Krishna and Balaram, Gaurnikai and Radhashyama Sundar, I just can't relate to it. I can't understand it." Because in the Islamic tradition, they never will worship any form of the Lord. So she said, "I can't believe it." So I immediately began speaking philosophy. Explained how the Lord has so many energies and he's the Lord of the energies, and for him it's not difficult for him to change his material energy into spiritual energy. After all, it's his energy. He can act through his material energies. And I gave one philosophical point and another philosophical point, and what's impossible for the Supreme Lord to do. And I spoke, and I didn't touch her heart at all. She said, I can't accept it. And then I remembered what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, if you have a problem that you can't solve, you take it to Balaram. So I told her, it sounds like you have a problem that you can't solve. You should take it to Balaram. You should go in front of Balaram, and especially nowadays, if you want to go in front of Krishna and Balaram, you have to know how to use your elbows, so. Because everyone is there and it's so crowded, and especially if you want to get to the front railing in front of Krishna and Balaram, you have to be very determined because there are so many people who also want to see Krishna and Balaram. So I said to her, you go in front of Lord Balaram in a very determined way. And you just plant yourself right in front of Balaram. Because Prabhupada said, if you have a problem that you can't solve, you take it to Balaram. And you tell Balaram everything, just like you told me, except you don't need a translator. When you needed a translator, so you couldn't speak any English when telling me. But Balaram speaks every language. So you tell Balaram your problem. Tell him honestly and openly, you're born in a Muslim country and you're taught from your very childhood that God can't be seen, understood in his form. Be very honest, completely honest and open. And you tell him everything and stay there right in front of Krishna and Balaram, especially in front of Balaram, until you're satisfied. So, she went. And then in 1 hour, and she came back. And she said, now I believe. I don't know what happened. I don't know what Balaram told her, even. But very, very powerful. Krishna and Balaram. Who's more powerful? But Balaram is unlimitedly powerful. Now, first of all, speak a little philosophy about Balaram and about Krishna. And then perhaps Krishna willing, we shall tell a few pastimes about Krishna and Balaram. Now, in the material world, everyone clearly views himself or herself as the center. Clearly. In illusion, we think that the universe revolves around us and our desires and our needs and what I want. We think it's very important that I want something. But actually, in case you haven't noticed it yet, no one else cares what you want, basically. Unless they're being paid by the hour very well, no one cares what you want at all. No one cares what you want, no one cares what you think, no one cares what you like and don't like. The universe refuses to cooperate with our desires to center existence around what I want and what I like. This is the very nature of the material world. We are not the supreme enjoyers. We don't have the power to control. Because to have our desires fulfilled, we have to be fully powerful. We have to have power to control everything. That is the function of Maya. To give us a realm where we can imagine that we are the supreme, that we're the center. And then continually become frustrated. Continually become frustrated and then try to organize existence around what we want. Until we learn there is a purpose to it. This is the very nature of the material world. And there is a specific purpose to the world being like this, is that we have to understand gradually, if we are fortunate, that indeed we are not the center. We are tiny. We are insignificant. That's something that no one likes to hear. We're tiny and insignificant, and no one cares. But because I am tiny and I am insignificant, it doesn't mean that the Supreme Lord is tiny and insignificant. He actually is the center. He actually is the center because God is all-powerful. He is the Param Satyam. He is the absolute truth. There is nothing in existence or non-existence is external to Him. He's the unlimited Mama Angsa Tejo Sambhava. There is nothing that does not rest upon Him and depend upon Him. He has, in Sanskrit, a Chintya Shakti. He has unlimited, inconceivable energies. And everything in existence rests upon those energies of the Supreme Lord. This is what it means to be God. This is what it means to be the Absolute Truth. And this is why He is the center. He is the supreme enjoyer. And because Krishna Bhule Se Jeev, forgetting Krishna as the supreme, as the enjoyer, as the center, we turn our back on Him. In an illusion, we consider ourselves in that way. An illusion. An illusion means that it's not true. We cannot be the center. But Krishna is, God is the center. And we are meant to learn to place Him in the center. And when one loves Krishna, if one loves the Supreme Lord, then it's completely natural. And until that point, we have our different reasons why we will either turn our back on Him or try to move closer to Him, and they're perhaps self-centered. But the goal, prema purmartho maham, the great goal of our life, is to turn to Krishna and develop our love for Him. And then naturally, when there is love, when there is deep affection, naturally He is in the center. Naturally He is the object of our service. So Krishna's position is as the supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme enjoyer. And in the spiritual world, He has three realms in which He especially enjoys. And the topmost of those realms, so we'll start with the bottommost of those realms, it is called Dwarka. And then above Dwarka is Mathura, and above Mathura is Sri Vrindavan Dham. This is Vrindavan. Now, in this particular little talk I will give, we won't speak about very much about the difference in those holy places, in those dhams, where Krishna enjoys fully with His greatest devotees. This is the realm of the spiritual world. But not only is Krishna the enjoyer there, in these realms, and the basic difference between these realms is that in Dwarka, and one step lower than that is the Vaikuntha realms, the places that are eternal, where there are no anxiety. In the lower realms, Krishna is manifest in great power. With great power. Everyone worships Him. All the devotees worship Him there with great reverence. That is called Aishwarya, or Krishna's unlimited opulences are somewhat displayed in Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan, rather than reverence being dominant, it's Krishna's sweetness. Because not only is Krishna unlimitedly powerful, He's also unlimitedly sweet. And that sweetness, due to the devotees' love for Krishna in different moods, is continuously manifest in Vrindavan. And those moods manifest in different pastimes or activities. of loving exchanges between Krishna and his beloved devotees, especially in Vrindavan. Because if you think about it, when people, every intelligent person, every sane person will understand there must be a Supreme Lord, there must be a God. But what is very difficult for even these religious and pious people to understand is what happens if you become pure and you go to heaven. What happens if you go there? What do you do? What happens? Is it a place where you have, where there are no mobile phones that go off in the middle of your talking, and there are no mobile phone bills, and you have an unlimited credit card? At least have a better ringtone. Something a little less jazzy and something more... Okay, thank you. At least... Oh, someone's very determined over there. But no one's determined to turn it off. That's amazing. Oh, okay. Underneath. Because we can't see a person doesn't mean they don't exist. It may have to do with the curtain being lifted. Keep that in mind. So, in the spiritual world, Krishna has these unlimited pastimes with his beloved devotees. He's unlimitedly sweet, but he himself, Krishna, and in the spiritual world, different from the material world, in the spiritual world, everyone acknowledges that Krishna is the center, the Supreme Lord is the center. And because of their love for him, everyone willingly, happily makes him the center out of love, spontaneous. In the material world, he's still the center because he's the center of everything. Everything rests upon him. But in the material world, people are unwilling to consciously make him the center. An illusion, we like to keep ourselves as the center or imagining that we are the center. So, for the purpose of his pleasure, Krishna expands himself as Balaram. And practically speaking, there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram, except their complexions are different. And Krishna is the original, unlimitedly supreme person, and Balaram is also Krishna's expansion, and unlimitedly powerful. But Balaram's complexion is whitish, like the full moon. He falls in and white. Raise your hand if you've actually seen the moon tonight. Because on the Purnima day, as soon as it's dusk, on the full moon day, as soon as the sun goes down at the exact same time, the moon arises. Has anyone seen the full moon? No. Yes. What did it look like, Krishna Prabhu?
White. It's very white.
And he folds it, and very soothing. Very soothing. And Balaram's complexion is just like that. Very effulgent and very soothing. And Balaram, as is Krishna, is unlimitedly beautiful. So from Balaram, or rather, Balaram is always with Krishna. In Vrindavan he's with Krishna, in Mathura he's with Krishna, in Dwarka he's with Krishna, in the Vaikuntha planets he's with Krishna, because he's Krishna's expansion meant to facilitate Krishna's pleasure and potency, even though that he is the unlimited Lord also. So one can ask the question, does that mean that there are more than one Supreme Lord? No, is the answer. There is one Supreme Lord, and that is Krishna. Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adya Govinda Sava Karana Karana. He is the cause of all causes. But yet, There are different manifestations of Krishna. And one of them, the prime one, practically speaking, is Balaram. So from Balaram, in Dwarka, he is known as Shankarshan. And Balaram in Dwarka, from that Shankarshan, Krishna in Dwarka is known as Vasudev, who is the Lord of consciousness. And his expansion of Balaram is known as Shankarshan in Dwarka, who is the Lord of, does anyone know? Ahankar, false ego. He is the Lord of false ego, of impure consciousness. Therefore, if we have a problem, it is always a problem of false ego. Illusory identification with something that is not actually us. There is only, that's why Prabhupada, he actually said, quoting his Guru Maharaj, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there is only one problem in this world. We think we have long lists. We even make little machines to keep track of all the problems, all the that we have to do, and all the things we have to solve, and all the things we have to do one after the next after the next. But Prabhupada insisted that there was actually only one problem, and that problem was our lack of Krishna consciousness. When we're situated in our real identity, our actual identity, there are no problems. And that was so, it was such an interesting thing. If one would walk into Prabhupada's presence, and sometimes we would have tens and tens of problems on our minds. And in Prabhupada's presence, in the presence of the Son of Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness, there was so much warmth spreading everywhere that he would say, so everything is all right? And really, you would think, yes, everything is all right. And then you'd walk out of the room and all the problems would descend again on your consciousness. I have to do this, I have to do that, there's too much of this, there's too little of that, this person I don't like, this person hates me, I hate this person, on and on, my boss is like this, my this is this, I'm sick, I'm tired. But in Krishna consciousness, without the darkness of Maya, without the darkness of illusion, without consciousness illuminated, my love for Krishna in our natural position, actually there's no problems. But there's only one type of a problem, which isn't a problem, it's an ecstasy. It's how can I please Krishna, because there is love for Krishna. And that is the mood, that is the bhavana, the mood of all devotees, not enwrapped in this problem and that problem. The mood is, how can I please Krishna? So there are so many expansions. This whole material world, practically speaking, is an expansion of Lord Balaram. So we mentioned that Vasudev is Krishna in Dwarka, and Shankarshan is Balaram in Dwarka. And also manifest in Dwarka is Aniruddha, who is the Lord of the mind, and Pradyumna, who is the Lord of intelligence. And these forms, these expansions of the Supreme Lord, these expansions of the Supreme Lord, expansions of Balaram and ultimately of Krishna, they manifest in the spiritual world, in the Vaikuntha world. And by the mercy of Balaram, Balaram's function in the spiritual world is to maintain all the opulence. He is the Lord of the Chit Shakti, of the intelligence, of not exactly consciousness, but knowledge, eternal knowledge. And from Mahashankarshan, which Balaram His expansion is called in the spiritual world. From him comes Mahavishnu, and by Mahavishnu's glance, Karana Dakshai Vishnu, he is so powerful that universes emanate from the pores of his skin, and his glance injects all the living entities into the universes. Then he expands again as Govardhakshay Vishnu. And Govardhakshay Vishnu enters, which is again an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of the Balaram. He enters into each universe, and from him the Brahma comes, and there's something wonderful that's described. From his navel, a lotus flower comes, a stem of a lotus comes, and on top of that stem of the lotus flower, Lord Brahma is born. And the actual stem is so powerful and huge that all the planets in the universe exist within that stem. And then that same Paramatma, Karanadakshay Vishnu, expands still further as Kiradakshay Vishnu. And again, these expansions of expansions of expansions of Lord Balaram enter the material creation, enter into everyone's heart, every single person, every single living entity, human or non-human, from a blade of grass to an ant to a monkey to a giraffe to a dog or a cat or a mouse or a cockroach or a germ, every living entity, regardless of the body, is a soul, an expansion of Krishna. And along with every living entity, there is Lord Paramatma, who is Chiradaksha Vishnu, an expansion from expansion, expansion. So, I wanted to explain these theological points just to make one simple and wonderful point, at least I think it's wonderful, that same unlimitedly powerful Balaram, that same person who appears in Vrindavan and performs pastimes as Krishna's brother, is not an ordinary person. As Krishna is not an ordinary person, he is not an ordinary person. And he goes to Vrindavan, when Krishna goes to Vrindavan, to exchange love with the devotees, to have pastimes, activities with the devotees. But he is not ordinary. And in a moment, we shall hear some of his extraordinary pastimes, Krishna and Balaram's extraordinary pastimes. But don't think that they are the same kind of activities that we might perform. Although Krishna and Balaram's activities are Naralila, they resemble the activities of human beings. They are always extraordinary because Krishna and Balaram are extraordinary. But before we hear pastimes about Krishna and Balaram, there are a lot more fun than philosophy. I just wanted to let us hear for 7 minutes some words spoken by Srila Prabhupada about Balaram. And these words were spoken by Prabhupada, and they're quite short, and they were spoken by Prabhupada in 1977. So it was very, very close to, just, this was in February of 1977, and Prabhupada left this world in November. So it was just a few months before Prabhupada left this world. And he was speaking on the occasion of Nityananda Trayodasi, the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. So when one speaks about Nityananda, one naturally also speaks about Balaram, because Balaram, why Lord Nityananda? Balaram has come as Nityananda Prabhu. So this is what Prabhupada said, and you can hear that Prabhupada's voice, he's already quite ill. Again, it was only 9 months or 7 months before he left this world. He was quite ill, but yet he was so enthusiastic. Now, as we hear Prabhupada's words, you can follow along. You see the icon for the... Yes. By the mercy of technology, we'll be able to follow along and hear what Prabhupada's saying. Let's see if all the pieces work, which is somewhat rare.
Oh.
They do. Let's see. Why don't we turn the light on so we can... Okay. Can you see? Oh. Too bad we don't have a pointer, because... Okay. Can you see? Can we take... Why don't you make the front figure? And bigger. And bigger. Yeah. That's big. Okay. That means we'll have to scroll accurately. Okay. Let's see if it all works. Now, Pastor, I'm going to ask you what you remember.
And that is the best.
itself. This sand is divine. It is spiritual. The reality of the present situation is that actually we are moving on account of spiritual strength. But we have no information of the spiritual strength. We are thinking material. That is expressed here. That Ahamkari Matta Hoya, Nisai Pada Matta Hoya. This is due to Ahamkara. Ahamkara Vimurata, Pratahan Vimurata. Those who are Vimura, especially Rasya, Mura means Rasya. And we mean this is a particular Aṅkāra Vimurātmā. The same thing which is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Now sometimes I have to say the same thing in a plain Bengali language. Aṅkāra Mastohaya Nitaibu. Health of Maya, Aṅkāra Vimurātmā, Kartāna. They are thinking that we are independent, so we can do whatever we like. And this is called Aṅkāra Vimurātmā. And that false pretext, false deceit. Everyone is thinking that we are independent. We can find out the solution of the problems of life by material adjustments from God. So that is our material speech. Aṅkāra Vimurātmā. Spiritual. They do not understand that the real strength is spiritual. To see daily. He really is a very strong man, very powerful man, good friend, very good scientist. So what is this strength? The strength is Atma. As soon as the Atma, the soul, goes out of this body, so intelligent, so strong, and that is defined between dead man and the living man. Living man is very powerful, very good position, everything. As soon as he lies down, he comes down on the floor and he kicks him on his head. He not protect. So where is that strength? The strength is gone. That is spiritual strength. On the spiritual strength, body moves. Suppose you have a very good star, magnetic star or those large stars. But when there is no petrol, how the star will move? It is not possible. Similarly, the real strength is spiritual strength. That spiritual strength is Balaram, Balaram's strength. Therefore, we have to take shelter of the Lotus-feet from Balaram, Gurusap. Balaram means Gurusap. Balaram is the second Guru. Shrikta-prajāda-bhagavad-gītā. If we want to understand Ketana-mahāguru, if we want to understand Krishna, then we must take shelter of Balaram. Jāyam-ātmā-balani-nevalam. It is balani-nevalam. Sambhava. The beneath Jantan, means he knows the mercy of Balaram. He cannot understand, he cannot realize your spiritual identity. So that Balaram comes as the Dharmaguru. Balaram is a Dharmaguru. Therefore, we must take pleasure of Balaram. So Balaram,
I think we can turn it off. Yes, I think we can turn the mics on. I think we can turn the microphone back on. So, Balaram and Krishna, every day when they were growing up in Vrindavan, would go to the forest with the cowherd boys, and basically they would just play and play and play. They would have unlimited pleasure, because what gives pleasure is being with those who we love and acting with them. So this is the only prerequisite for being in the spiritual world, is love for Krishna. So all the cowherd boys and all the cows, indeed, all the trees, the plants in Vrindavan, they all love Krishna and they're all trying to serve him. The trees are bowing down. The grass is bowing down to Krishna. The trees are offering their fruits, the flowers are offering their flowers, all for the pleasure of Krishna. And when Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys would wander in the forest with the cows, they would be dressed in so many jewels. Their mothers, before they would send them out, they would dress them in so many jewels. But yet, as soon as the boys were alone in the forest with the cows, they would take the minerals from around Govardhan Hill, and they would all redecorate Krishna. Just like when one does deity worship, one is very, very careful how one decorates the deity. One takes a very fine, like, pen or instrument and touches some color and very, very carefully decorates around the deity's eyes. And when we decorate the deities and takes a little bit of the red and the blue, makes beautiful decorations just to enhance the beauty of the deity. The deity means God. That's what deity means, Dios in Latin, God. So this is actually the pleasure of every living entity, everyone, each and every one of us. When we do something just to make Krishna happy, to beautify him. So the boys would decorate Krishna and themselves, and Krishna would decorate them with the leaves and flowers and the minerals of the forest. And they would be herding the cows, and sometimes the cows would wander away, and Krishna would call them. And I think always that the cows would wander away just to be called by Krishna. So Krishna would call their names, and they would come running back to Krishna. So one day, Sudam and Sridam and Stoka Krishna and Vasudam, they walked a little distance away to herd the cows. And then when Krishna and Balaram and Subal came close to them, Krishna and Balaram started moving their hands like dancers. And the boys said, "Oh, some famous dancers have come from so far away." And Balaram said, "Yes." Krishna said, "Yes. And we have a desire in our heart. We want to dance." So the boy, Krishna, started dancing in such a wonderful way, such a delicate way, and moving his eyes in such a way, and dancing in such a delicate way. And all the boys were clapping and ecstatic, and they were playing their bugles, and they made little flutes out of leaves And he began to play these, and Krishna and Balaram were dancing and moving their feet. Actually, Krishna started dancing. And then Balaram became so enthusiastic when he saw how wonderfully Krishna was dancing. So he joined in. And then all the boys became so happy, because it's who you're with. That is what gives pleasure. To be alone in the forest of Vrindavan, just playing with Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna's dancing in the most wonderful way, and the boys are all clapping, and their hearts are completely full of love for Krishna. How can we imagine what it is like? We cannot imagine. But somehow or another, on days like today, by the mercy of Balaram, he can give us the strength in the kirtans and the deity worship, or in our off doing something for Krishna's pleasure. He can give us the strength, because strength ultimately is spiritual. That's what Prabhupada was saying. It is spiritual. And by the mercy of Balaram, perhaps we can get a taste, a fragmental taste, perhaps, of what it is like to be with Krishna. And it is so far different from any of the tastes of this world that frustrate us ultimately so much. And from that taste springs forward a desire. And that taste is actually spiritual. So, after Krishna dance, the boys began to take up all their jewels and present them, take them off their own necklaces from their round necks and give them to Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram said, "Oh, we have not come to dance to you, to gain jewels and wealth. We want something else." And the boy said, "What else do you want? What is it that you want?" And they said, "We want to wrestle." Because they're boys. And Krishna's moved. He is like the coward boys, because they love him. As a coward boy, as a friend, his consciousness fully adopts, because although he is Sarvajna, he knows everything. It's like when we're with someone that we love and we're doing something, we tend to forget all the daily, our regular daily activities. We forget the problems of business, of work, of this financial problem, of this stock is going down, this problem, house payments, this repairs, this and that, and I have to go shopping and buy this. When we're with someone in a simple way, someone whom we love, our consciousness compresses, in one sense, it's smaller, because we're not aware of everything that we're usually aware of. But that is our pleasure. It's not that those things and those concepts don't exist, but our consciousness compresses to be with the one that we love, those who we love. And this is what actually everyone is longing for. To be with beloveds so deeply. But unfortunately, we look in the wrong place for this. So in any case, Krishna and Balaram, Krishna said, "I want to wrestle." And the boys wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, because that's what boys like to do. Any previous boys or current boys know this. That's what boys like to do. They like to wrestle when they're together and play in that way. And then Krishna taught the boys the fine art of dancing too. And then later on, they danced. And Krishna was so appreciative of how they were dancing. So in the midst of this type of playing, one thing after the next, they would play and rollick. Aham Purvam, Aham Purvam. They would run to see Because the Vrindavan forest was always manifesting newer and more wonderful surprises, so that Krishna and Balaram would be ever freshly pleased. And Krishna would move away to see one of the wonders of the Vrindavan forest, and then the boys would run because they could not bear being separated from Krishna. They would run to him saying, "Oh, I want to be first to touch Krishna. Aham Purvan, Aham Purvan. I want to be the first to touch Krishna." How can we understand what this intensity of love is like? Just the blinking of their eyes would cause them to miss Krishna. So amidst all of this, while this was going on, these wonderful playful activities were going on in Vrindavan, in the forest of Vrindavan, there was someone in the city of Mathura who was very miserable. And that person was Kamsa. Actually, he was depressed. Because he had sent so many of his friends, and because he was a demonic person, his friends were of a similar nature. They were powerful, he was powerful. But they had an enmity, an envy of Krishna. And so many of his friends went there, powerful friends, went there with the hope of killing Krishna on Kamsa's order. And instead it was they who ended up dead. Who was the first demon that was killed? Putana, then Sakatasura, then Srinivarta, then Vatsasura, then Bakasura, one after the next. And Balaram had a particular way that he liked to kill demons. There's so many wonderful stories of this in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's Krishna book. Once, when the boys were with Krishna at the Talavan forest, or near the Talavan forest, they were near Govardhan, they smelled the fragrance of tall fruit. Have any of you ever eaten a tall fruit? Yes, tall? You eat it, it has a groove in it. You have? Yeah, of course. I also had one time in Bangladesh. You eat it like this, and in the hot season it's very cooling. Very cooling and tasty. So the fragrance of these tall fruits in the month of Bhadra, which is, today is the first day of that month, it got carried to where Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys were playing, and the boys approached Krishna and said, "Krishna and Balaram, we want some of these fruits. We've been playing and we want to enjoy these fruits, but unfortunately they're in the forest of Talavan, and that forest is being guarded by man-eating donkeys, asses. And they're powerful." And actually the Gargants of Mita described that these were previously demons, and they were associates of Kamsa, Kalanimi, in their previous birth. And they won't allow anyone to come. They're so powerful! And when Krishna and Balaram heard that there were donkeys there who were so powerful, they just started laughing. Donkeys, powerful. And they just laughed, and this is what boys love to do with their beloved friends. They just laugh and have a good time. So Balaram went forward, and all the boys said, "Balaram, we know that you're unlimitedly powerful, but so far all the asuras who have been killed by Krishna. We want to see the strength of your arms." So the boys, with Balaram in front of them, marched into the Talavan forest. And then one of the boys said to Balaram, "Balaram, we used to think that you were strong. And remember, Balaram, his expansions, his Kala Angsa, the whole universe are supported by them. This same Balaram is playing in the Talamon forest, and one of the boys says to Balaram, "Oh, Balaram, we used to think that you were very strong, but now we kind of doubt it. We don't think you're strong at all." And Balaram, one of his characteristics is he has a little bit of a temper. So Balaram became angry, and he immediately grabbed one of those tall trees, and with his two arms he began to shake it, and all the tall trees and the fruits came falling down, making loud noises. And then Dhanukasura, this donkey demon, and the boys were laughing and playing, and no fear. This Dhanukasura became very, very angry, and he was very powerful. Powerful donkey. And he went right in front of Balaram and turned the hind legs to Balaram, who had held down the tree. What's going on? Something wonderful. And his hind legs were as strong as lightning bolts. And with those lightning bolt legs, he kicked Balaram. And Balaram didn't notice it. So when someone with that mentality is insulted in that way, what does he do? He becomes very angry because his false ego is very insulted. How dare you not be moved? I mean, I've killed so many people and you're not disturbed? You come into my forest? How dare you? I'll show you. And he went to kick him again. And this is one of Balaram's favorite ways of killing asuras. He likes to grab them by their legs and spin them around. And that's just what Balaram did to Dhanukasura. He spun him around and threw him in the top of a tall tree. And that tall tree, he died by just being spun around, and that tall tree fell down, breaking, and it knocked down another tree. And knocked down another tree, and that knocked it. It looked like a hurricane, a typhoon, a cyclone had just passed through, knocking down all the trees. And with that tumultuous sound, all the friends of Dhanukasura, who also were donkeys, powerful donkeys, and Balaram and Krishna were laughing, and all the coward boys were laughing, and they all came and attacked. They surrounded Krishna and Balaram and the coward boys, and they attacked, trying to kick them. And one by one, Krishna and Balaram spun them around and threw them into trees. So Kamsa knew this. He knew that Putana had died and Trinavarta had died, and therefore he was sitting very depressed. Krishna had killed his friends. So one other demon came in, named Pralamba. And Pralamba said, he was a servant of Kamsa. He said, "Oh Kamsa, why are you so sitting so depressed and sad and lamenting?" Kamsa was so miserable, he didn't even answer him. He said, and then after a while he asked again, and he said, "You don't know what's happened? Why I'm upset? The best of my friends, these powerful demons, have been killed by Krishna." And Pralambasura said, "I want to go. They have shown their power. I want to show my power. Even the Himalayan mountains, and even the lakes in the Himalayan mountains, they are crushed by time. Everyone has their time to go up, and everyone has their time to go down. So Krishna has killed them, but now they will have to face me." Of course, he didn't realize that his time was now coming. And he was really powerful. He had a horrible, huge, powerful blackest, effulgent form, and his teeth came up almost to his brow like tusks, and he had jewels, effulgence, huge. And when he said, "I will go, give me just 3 hours," Constance just looked at him. "Moths like to are attracted to flames," he said. "It's your life." So Parambasura, because the nature of someone in Maya is that he thinks he's very powerful. But in this world, no one is powerful. Everyone is only insignificant. There's nothing you can do about it. You have to accept the fact. And whatever power we have, it's a gift of Christmas. So Pralambasura had a plan. Not only was he powerful and horrible and effulgent, he was also somewhat clever. He thought, "I'm going to disguise myself as a cowherd boy. And I'll play with Krishna and Balaram. And then, as the day goes on, and they trust me, I'll tie up their hands, throw them both over my shoulder, and carry them back to Kamsa as a gift. Then Kamsa will understand who I am." So Pralambasura disguised himself because he was a powerful demon, Sura, and he had this Kamarupa. He could take whatever form he wanted, and he disguised himself as a coward boy. And when Krishna saw him, and slowly he moved out of the forest and sort of started mingling with the boys, and Krishna saw him and immediately recognized who this was. And as Pralambasura was thinking, "I'll mingle with the boys for some time until Krishna and Balaram trust me," Krishna was thinking, "I'll let him play with us for some time until he trusts me." So Krishna said, "My dear friend, we've been playing and dancing and enjoying so much, and you've come late, and I've missed you. I want to keep you in my eyesight continuously because of my affection for you. I want to keep my eye on you. You're my minister." And they began playing kings, and Balaram had one kingdom, and Krishna had another kingdom, and Sridham was Balaram's minister, and someone was the commander of Balaram's army, and Krishna said, "Oh, Pralambasura, you can be my minister." So they played, and they had territories, and sometimes they made peace, and sometimes they were boys, they were playing like this. "And this is my kingdom, and here is my throne, and you have to come, and you do this, and you do that." And then after a while, they decided that the two kingdoms, the kingdom of Balaram and the kingdom of Krishna, should go to war. So they paired up. So Krishna began to fight with Sridham, who was Balaram's minister, and Balaram began to fight with Krishna's minister, who was Pralambasura. And they fought, and everyone paired up, and they began to fight, and they began to fight. And the way that the game was described is that whoever wins, I'll take it the other way, whoever loses, they have to become horses. And they have to carry the winners on their shoulders. And you know what happens when the fight, "Get up, go faster, go faster, go faster." And they were, by this time, they were in Bandhiravan. Raise your hand if you've been in Bandhiravan. Oh, Bandhiravan is such a nice place, isn't it? It's so sweet. The places of Vrindavan, they're unexpected. explainably sweet because they have been touched by the loaded feet of Krishna, Balaram, Srimati Radharani, and all the cowboy boys, and all the Brajagopis, and Nandini and so on. They have a sweetness that is just not explainable. Have you been to Bandiran? How many times? Seven times. You should share. Some have not even been once. So, Balaram won. And of course, when the boys, after they were, they were fighting for some time, he said, "We won, our team won." But Krishna actually, he said, "Our team lost. And we have to carry the others." That meant that Kalambasura would have to carry Balaram. And he was thinking, this fits right into my plan. Balaram, he was in the mood of playing and playing with his friends. And his consciousness became mugdata, or compressed into the mood of a cowherd boy due to the strength of the love of the boys. So Balaram got on the shoulders of his horse carrier, Kalambasura. And the idea was, the rules was, they would travel, they would have to carry them to the place of Bandiravata, the great tree, the Bandira tree. And then the game was over, they'd come back and play something else. So Balaram was on the shoulders of Kalambasura. And Kalambasura, who previously was treating Krishna and saw Krishna as just a boy who he could kill, now understood somehow or another by Krishna's arrangement that Krishna was very powerful. So he wanted to take Balaram away from Krishna so that he could kill him. So Balaram was on his shoulders, and Balaram was very heavy. And he began to carry Balaram farther away. Far away. And his idea was to kill Balaram. And he carried him past the Bandira tree. And everyone saw this. And then they saw that this demon's form, or rather this coward boy's form, suddenly was changed. Because Balaram was so heavy, and it took all of his energy to carry Balaram, and he could no longer, by his mystic power, maintain that form of a coward boy. And then he attained again his original form, who was huge and effulgent, with teeth that came up to his brow. And Balaram, everyone became terrified because they saw this demon was carrying away Balaram. And Balaram became frightened for a moment. How is it possible for this unlimitedly powerful person to remain frightened for a moment? And everything is powerful to support the loving exchanges that take place between Krishna, Balaram, and all the devotees. Everything is possible. Everything serves love, prema, in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavan, that place, the principle is love for Krishna is dominant. And love for Krishna even defeats the all-powerful original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Balaram for a moment became frightened. And Krishna, there are several accounts of what Krishna did. One is he began to move his eyebrows in such a way that Balaram remembered, "Oh yes, I'm the Supreme Lord. I have so much power." But And the Vishnu Purana is quoted by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It describes how Krishna called out to him, "Oh Balaram, O soul of the universe, oh all powerful one, isn't it time to act like a human?" And then Balaram remembered his actual position, and this happens with Krishna at pastimes too. He forgets who he is because he's so captivated and controlled by the love of his devotees. And therefore, when Mother Yasoda after Krishna has stolen butter, Krishna is crying, and Mother Yasoda is holding a stick in her hand, and Krishna's crying because her love for him is so powerful that he becomes afraid that his mother is going to chastise him. So similarly, for a moment, Balaram forgot, and then Krishna reminded him with his eyebrows and his words, and then Balaram took his fist and boom! Blood began to come out. The Lambasura fell to the ground. And all the boys, just imagine their mood. They're thinking of Krishna and Balaram as their friends. And suddenly, Balaram is being carried away by his friend, and suddenly that friend turns into a powerful, huge demon with tusks that go up to his eyebrows, and Balaram hits him, and the demon falls down, and then Balaram comes back. And they're thinking, "Oh, Balaram, we were so afraid for you. You're so powerful and wonderful." They were hugging him. Krishna and Balaram hugged, and Krishna and Balaram were weeping out of their loving affection. This is Goloka Vrindavan. Everything that happens is serving the unlimitedly all-powerful love of the residents of Vrindavan. So today is Balaram's wonderful appearance day as Rohini Nanda, as the son of Rohini. And today is a good day to get the mercy of Balaram. Just don't go to him with all your problems, though, because otherwise you'll give him a headache. So please pray to Balaram. Try to please Balaram and know that Krishna and Balaram are so dear to every living entity. That means us included. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. See Balaram today. See Krishna today. Sit upon by.